Words on Water.
Welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop. The guest for this episode, Adam Blazer. He's regional manager for DN Tanks for their Concrete Tanks Services Division. Very excited for this conversation to learn a lot about something I don't know a lot about. Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Travis. Thank you.
Yeah. So we have a wide variety of listeners, you know, all different parts of the water sector, all different levels of experience. So let's just start with this kind of basic question, I guess. Could you explain how the water utility sector uses concrete tanks?
Sure. Concrete tanks have been used in the water wastewater sector for really over 100 years here in the United States. And then my company, DN Tanks, we build pre-stressed concrete tanks. That's been a concrete tank that's been used for about the last 70 years. Concrete tanks, they're durable, long-term material, very well suited for water and wastewater storage and treatment applications. Specifically, I guess, water applications might include various like raw water storage tanks, potable drinking water storage tanks out in the distribution system. They could also include, like at the water treatment process level, clear wells, clarifiers, sludge thickeners, backwash tanks. And then for wastewater applications in the wastewater sector, they might typically include various types of process tanks like aeration tanks, anaerobic or aerobic digesters, sludge storage tanks, and then also stormwater collection tanks like SSO or sanitary sewer overflow, combined sewer overflow, and flow equalization tanks, so large basins that collect runoff during major events to hold water until it can be treated at a later time.
Yeah, so somebody might think, oh, a tank, right? That's a pretty basic thing, but it's absolutely an essential part of this whole process here, of the whole water infrastructure of the water system. So, and you said they started coming into use by utilities when?
Probably over 100 years ago.
Wow.
Seen tanks, and I've been inside tanks that were built as late as the 1880s.
That's fair. So those are probably on the east coast of the U.S., I'm guessing?
One of them would be in the Midwest, and actually one of them was up in Northern California.
Oh, okay.
On an old ranch.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So you haven't been around since the 1880s there, but how have they evolved over the decades?
Tanks obviously started maybe 100 years ago, and then, you know, in the early 1900s, when, you know, population started growing, cities and towns really began to rapidly increase and rely more heavily on clean, reliable water storage for drinking water or for fire protection too. And then also, you know, for wastewater, they would typically just discharge right into a stream. And then once regulations changed to treat that, they would need a place to hold the liquid for a certain amount of time until they could treat it and then discharge it into a river or stream. From a regulation and treatment standpoint, they've evolved a lot over the years. From a design standpoint, concrete tanks have also evolved a lot over the years, just from a standpoint of what type of materials, original concrete tanks might have just been completely unreinforced, just regular cement, sand, and water. And then the advent of using conventional reinforcement and rebar inside tanks. And then, you know, ultimately until the improvements to do the pre-stressing tanks that that I mentioned before.
You know, we hear a lot about the aging infrastructure, the aging water infrastructure in this country, and just how long systems have been around, how long pipes have been in the ground, and all that. And yeah, I'm just wondering how tanks fit into that. Is it the same situation where you've got a lot of these that have been around 50, 75 years and so forth? Or how do they fit into that, that picture?
Concrete, like I mentioned, it's a durable, long-term material. So if you're looking at the performance of just concrete itself, you know, it dates back thousands of years, even to the, you know, ancient Romans and Greeks and them using concrete that's still standing today. But through the evolution of the design of tanks, concrete tanks that we build today, you know, it's not the same standards that we designed them to 70 years ago as it is today, just due to a lack of, you know, means and methods of construction or to technology available at the day. You know, I've looked and inspected old concrete tanks that might have had, if you can think of what conventional reinforcement looks like today, well, they used to use smooth bars or square rebar inside tanks, or they used to use copper water stops or oakum, old oakum, to help waterproof inside tanks. And those obviously aren't used anymore, and we use a lot more upgraded materials. So when we look at the actual concrete itself, it's faring well as water infrastructure around the country ages, but a lot of those, you know, certain criteria to how they were built or certain techniques to how they were built, those are being improved, and we can go back in and update or rehabilitate for some of those deficiencies that might have been around 50, 60, 70 years ago.
Yeah, I know when we've talked in the past, this was something we hit on that's really interesting. Is so obviously putting in a new tank is always an option, but could you talk about that a little more, expand on what utilities can do with aging tanks on this rehabbing front?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, I mean, the tanks built a while ago, even though they might not have been built to the same standards as today, they might still be, you know, structurally adequate or doing pretty well, but they might not meet current, you know, safety or, you know, maybe like a seismic code on towards the West Coast that has a lot more seismic events, or they might have just had some quality issues with the original construction. What utilities can do is, my first recommendation is always for a utility to understand what they have and to set a baseline. You know, historical information is always tough to find, and a lot of the old paper documents that something might have been drawn to or designed to is no longer available. So just going in, setting a baseline condition assessment, it's like going to your doctor for a yearly physical, and then followed by just regular inspection scheduling to see, you know, what observations don't change year after year, or might be a new development. And then, you know, if a change is needed to meet a new regulation or process, tanks can always be retrofitted or modified to meet these changes. So it's important to know what type of tank you have, confirm the changes are possible, and then put a plan together to upgrade them to meet, whether it be like a safety standard or some other, you know, design requirement.
Yeah, no, sure. Makes a lot of sense. So there's a lot changing in the water sector just beyond the aging infrastructure piece. You know, there's kind of different water quality challenges. There's different sanitation challenges and regulations. And then we've got kind of, you know, security concerns and issues. What are some ways that, you know, tanks can address those challenges with water and security and so forth that, you know, are changing?
They can be improved to meet these changing requirements. Like I said, all the tank designs, even, you know, if it was a tank was built 10 years ago, a design might have, or a regulation might have changed today that it might have to change to. So the liquid insides may be going under different treatment processes or whatnot. So tanks can be upgraded for, you know, you touched upon a few things like water quality. They can be upgraded with various types of mixing systems out in the distribution system or baffling systems that might improve the flow or quality of water inside a tank at a water treatment plant. From a sanitary perspective, you know, what utilities can do is, you know, we recommend that tanks be fully drained, washed out, and cleaned out to remove, you know, accumulation of sediments on the floor and interior walls that might eventually have an adverse effect on the interior water or that might be affecting their treatment process. And this happens regardless of tank type, not just concrete tanks, but just in general tank good practices to do that. And then, you know, just even going to a higher level, you could do, you know, automated washdown systems. We've seen those become more popular to avoid safety and sanitary concerns when putting, you know, personnel inside of a wastewater tank to clean it out so they can be retrofitted with some automatic washdown systems. And then I think the last one you mentioned was security. Yeah, that's definitely an item, obviously, in the world we live in today, where security of a water system is so important to prevent any other unauthorized access. And a lot of our water systems, you know, they're not all manual now. It's a lot of it's controlled by technology. and cybersecurity and physical security is very important to prevent any vandalism or people getting in there that shouldn't be in there. So we've seen tanks upgraded or retrofitted with new higher security openings to prevent any people from getting in, or vent openings, as well as just, you know, alarm switches or security measures to prevent that.
I'm also really curious about, I guess, the natural side of things in terms of natural disasters like earthquakes or even, you know, climate change impacts, and how the tank world deals with those kind of things. I mean, you've had these out west in California for a long, long time, and they rattle mm-hmm. out there frequently.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the previous question, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, what the utility can actually do, you know, what's expected, but the natural disasters are unexpected, and how can you plan for those? So seismic resiliency regulations are constantly evolving too. There's new seismic zones and code changes. And utilities are now more than ever kind of aware of the need for reliable water storage during those emergency events. So new tanks are continually designed to the latest seismic codes, and that include like wall heights for sloshing effect and based restraint designs to allow some of that flexibility and dampening, you know, so it's not so rigid to cause a failure. And existing tanks, are, you know, that we've been involved in can also be evaluated and upgraded or modified to be more resilient during a seismic event. And then for other types that, you know, of events, there's been a noticeable increase, you know, obviously in the intensity and damage that these storms and natural disasters are causing, whether it be hurricanes or earthquakes, fires, tornadoes. These increases in storm intensity really create a greater emphasis on the value of tanks that are capable of withstanding these severe events. And, you know, a lot of the concrete tanks that we have designed, they have, you know, proven that they do have the durability to withstand these forces. We've had a lot of tanks undergo these events, like tornadoes in the Midwest, like you mentioned, the earthquakes out in the California area and the Pacific Northwest. Hurricanes down in, you know, the Houston area and down in the Gulf, and then also that the wildfires that we had out in California last year. We had several tanks that were able to provide reliable storage through those events.
It's a wide variety of challenges, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like everything that nature and man can throw at them, they have to be able to handle. Last question, you know, technology is changing so much of the water sector. Yeah, technology, digital era, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just wondering how that may be figuring into tanks.
Yeah. So the technologies to, you know, build the tank, it kind of follows that of general concrete construction industry trends too. So we're always looking to innovate, whether it be specific design changes, material improvements, and taking the technology to the field. You know, a long time ago, it was, you know, you pick up the phone call and call the field and see what's going on. But now, you know, we can fit out our construction sites with laptops and tablets for on-site and live scheduling, quality control checking, safety audits. So that's, you know, one impact of technology for us that's impacting it. And then also, you know, just general treatment processes and equipment that may be added into an existing tank or for you know, a certain process, that might be a way the technology is impacting it. And, you know, solar panels or cellular mounting and multi-application tanks are becoming more popular, you know, utilizing, you know, a tank as a public space on top and having the water stored underneath. So just having multi-applications for, you know, what the tank's actually used for is becoming very popular.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Very, very interesting. I think this was a great crash course for me and hopefully for a lot of listeners in this area of water infrastructure and our water systems that may be taken for granted or not recognized enough. So I really I appreciate the time and the information very much, Adam.
Okay, Travis. Thank you so much, too, for having me.
Words on Water.